is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
What a day for Albert Mohler to be out of town. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Dr. Mohler is today in Orlando, Florida, speaking at the Ligonier Conference there. Many of you in the Orlando area are there and listening to him. But in the meantime, the newspapers all over the country are talking about, well, Albert Mohler. I woke up this morning to look at the Courier Journal, the newspaper here in the town where I live in Louisville, and it had the most incredible headline, Mohler, Babies May Be Born Gay. And I know there are similar headlines all over the country, where the national media and local media are drawing off of a blog that Dr. Mohler wrote a couple weeks ago and suggesting that what Dr. Mohler is saying is that some people are biologically determined to be homosexual. There are even some suggestions that what Dr. Mohler is saying is that you ought to biologically engineer babies who are not homosexual. That is so stupid. That is so contrary to what Dr. Mohler actually said. As most of the people who read a headline like this, and first thing I thought when I picked up the headline, Mohler, Babies Are Born Gay, is to think, what in the world has happened since I talked to Albert Mohler last night? Has he been smoking some marijuana or what? Well, no, this article is just about the blog that he wrote. And what he says in the blog is, suppose, even if there were to be a biological basis for a predisposition toward this particular sin or toward any sin, that does not make it right. That homosexuality is condemned in Scripture as being contrary to the will of God, and that means that homosexuality is wrong, and it's wrong for everybody. It's wrong regardless of the factors that may or may not contribute to that. So if you have someone, for instance, who says, I was abused as a child, and my abuse as a child has led me to a predisposition toward homosexuality. Well, that does not mean that you are now hardwired to be a homosexual. It doesn't mean that you're doomed to a life of homosexuality, nor does it mean that you can say, well, because this factor came into my life from outside of my control, then that means that I just need to indulge in this activity all that I want. It doesn't mean any of these things. What Dr. Mohler said is, if there is any factor biologically that might contribute to homosexuality, and frankly, he said, we don't know that because there's been no conclusive evidence so far that suggests that that's the case. But even if it were the case, it wouldn't do away with what the Word of God has said. So frankly, when you look at these headlines out there, sometimes I just have to stand back and laugh and say, what are the headline writers thinking? I wonder if they've even read the article, or if they, much less, have ever read Dr. Mohler's blog. So those of you who get these kinds of headlines thinking, what in the world is happening? Is Dr. Mohler suggesting that people are hardwired to be gay? Absolutely not. Is Dr. Mohler suggesting that people have biological determination to be homosexual? Absolutely not. And Dr. Mohler has always stood against designer babies and genetic therapies to engineer a particular type of baby, always, for any reason. So this is a lot of hype and much ado about nothing. What I would encourage you to do is to go and to look on Dr. Mohler's blog at albertmohler.com and see what he actually wrote. And I think what you'll find there is he said, I want to start a conversation. That's exactly what he did. There are a lot of people who are talking about this right now, including a lot of people who are practicing homosexuals, who are looking at this and saying, wait a minute. We think this is bigotry because Dr. Mohler is saying that we're sinners. Even if there are any number of factors, even if those things were true, we would still be sinning against God. Dr. Mohler is saying that, and he's also saying that there is redemption from any sin, including homosexuality. There is no one who is doomed by genetics or by anything else to follow after a way that leads to death. And the answer to that is to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Such were some of you, but you were justified. You were sanctified. Dr. Mohler wants to talk about this some more with you. On this broadcast, probably on Monday, he's going to devote an entire show to talking about this. I think it'll be an interesting discussion. And I think that, frankly, this is really laying out before the world the conversation that goes to the homosexual community. Your propaganda isn't going to settle this issue. You know, there are a lot of people who think, maybe because I've got a predisposition toward drunkenness, maybe because I just have this particular weakness that other people I know don't have, maybe that means I'm just hardwired to be an alcoholic. No. You have a responsibility. You have a free choice to walk away from sin and to walk in the way that God has given to you. And He's given us the means to do that. So it's going to be an interesting conversation to have. Today, I want to talk not about homosexuality, but about a real issue affecting our own churches all over the place, every bit as much as the homosexual issue is affecting the culture. And in many ways, this is more significant, and that's the issue of divorce. Frankly, you look around at the evangelical world and in our own churches, there are many of us who have churches that are being fractured and torn apart by divorce. You have churches that are split apart by families who are divorcing. And when you look at the statistics, evangelical families often are just as prone to divorce, sometimes more so than secular or other religious group families. Why is that? What is it that our churches can be doing to be presenting a positive vision of marriage, a biblical vision of marriage, and saying, not just with our words, but with our actions, that what God has joined together, let no man tear apart? You know, I'm thinking about this precisely because of something that happened on this program yesterday. Now, this is after last week we talked about the issue of Rudy Giuliani, someone who humiliated his wife, really, by announcing that he is divorcing her and marrying someone else in a press conference. Now he's on his third wife. We talked about in this radio broadcast last week whether or not people are going to vote for a candidate who has that kind of a track record. Are people going to take that into consideration? And we had an interesting discussion. And then yesterday, on Ask Anything Wednesday, we had a caller who asked me this.
Hello, I have a question for you. I've been divorced for almost a year.
Okay.
And that's what the Bible says, but I would hope to think that God would want me to be happy one day and allow me to remarry.
All right. I notice the way that she asked this question. It's a very good question because she's being honest and saying, I really want to get a divorce. I really want to get remarried. I know what the Bible says about these things, but I know that God wants me to be happy. Do we have the kind of resources within our churches to address a situation like that? What can we be doing as churches to keep marriages together at the beginning and through times of crisis? I want to hear from you. How do you think the church ought to be engaging the issue of marriage, the issue of divorce? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Why do we have so many divorces in our churches, and what can we do to prevent that? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let me know what you think. I have on the line David Blankenhorn, who is the founder and president of the Institute for American Values. He's the author of a fascinating new book. I'm actually reading it right now. I'm not all the way through with it, called The Future of Marriage. Just arrived in my mailbox last night from Amazon.com, in which you have David Blankenhorn arguing that some of the debates that we're having right now about marriage, homosexual marriage, and not just that, move on back to the fact that you've got marriages that are being redefined in all kinds of ways, with cohabitation, with people who are single, intentionally single parents. And David Blankenhorn, who's a liberal Democrat, says this hurts kids, that we have to have healthy marriages, healthy families, in order to protect the next generation. David Blankenhorn, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
It's always good to have another native Mississippian with me. I know that you grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, and so
sure
it's good
did.
To have you here.
Great.
Why do you think it is that you see, in especially even in evangelical churches, a divorce rate that just continues to climb?
Well, and you know, for people that are going to church regularly, you know, more than, say, twice a month, and who are active members in the church, the studies do show that you do have a lower divorce rate among those really people that are, you know, strong devotional and prayer life, strong church life. It's a little bit lower.
Okay.
But for but not as low as it ought to be, because, you know, we still have we probably have the highest divorce rate in the world in the United States, and we have about 30 7% of the children born to unmarried mothers. So we have let marriage become very weak in our society, and I think a lot of it has become a decline in the belief in marital permanence, and also a decline in the belief that we really do need to be married before we have children. So we've changed our values in that area, and our children are paying a big price.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to ask David Blankenhorn specifically how children are bearing the price for marriages that are not permanent. I want you to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What can churches do to prevent a divorce culture? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. The love is gone. That's what the culture says. When the love is gone, when that sense of romantic frenzy is no longer there, then it's time to leave. And we've got a divorce culture that is all over, not just in the outside world, but in our own churches. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about divorce and the permanence of marriage. How do you think that our churches can address the divorce issue? How can our churches make sure that when the outside world looks into our churches, they see a different view of marriage? They see a permanence of marriage. What can churches be doing differently than what they're doing right now? And why do you think that we're in this situation? Why is it that now, in 2007, divorce is really just seen as no big deal? Even in our churches, even in conservative Bible-believing churches. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. On the line right now is David Blankenhorn, who is the founder and president of the Institute for American Values. He's the author of a really important new book called The Future of Marriage. I think this book is going to be talked about for quite a while all over the place, specifically because David Blankenhorn is not a right-wing evangelical Christian like I am. David Blankenhorn is, at least according to USA Today, a liberal Democrat who happens to think that marriage is important. If you want to read the article about him in USA Today this week, you can go to my website at henryinstitute.org. I link to it and really have some, I think, impressive quotes from David Blankenhorn on the issue of marriage. He says, for instance, the best institutional friend children have is marriage, and if grown-ups make a mess of it, the children are going to suffer. David Blankenhorn, we appreciate your being on the program today. I'd like to ask you, when it comes to the issue of divorce specifically, or intentional single parenthood, or homosexual marriage, or any of these other redefinitions of a marriage unit, how do children suffer by that? I mean, what difference does it make as long as there's a parent in the home?
Well, when the thing that the child most wants in life, and the deepest need that a child has, is to love and be loved by the two people who helped bring that child into the world. I mean, that's just a fundamental need that we as human beings have, to know kind of who our parents are and that they love us and that they're there for us and that they're there for each other. That's a basic need. And if you deprive a child of that, you're depriving that child at a very basic level. And if you look at all of the social problems that we are looking at today, ranging from educational failure to juvenile delinquency to teen pregnancy to crime and mental and emotional problems with our young people, the scholars will tell us that family breakup and the weakening of marriage is a cause of just about each and every one of these problems. It's not the only cause, but it's a very important cause. So in a way, the breakdown of the family and the breakdown of marriage is a kind of a engine that's driving a lot of our social problems, because if children are deprived at this level, a lot of them are going to get into trouble.
And you argue that what a child needs is not just a generic parent. The child needs a mom, and the child needs a dad playing a very specific role in the formation of that child.
The two people whose union brought them that child into the world. So, with all of the stuff that you alluded to, you have to be really specific.
Sure.
Because it's not just a caregiver, it's not just a parent, it's not just mom or dad's boyfriend or girlfriend.
Mm.
It's you know, when you look in the mirror, the people you look like, you know, the two people whose physical union, hopefully in love and within marriage, brought you into this world. Those two people are the first two people that you need to love and be loved by.
I think it's very interesting that you said just a few minutes ago that one of the things a child needs is to see these two people loving each other. So it's not enough to say, I've got all kinds of hours per week with my dad who lives six blocks over, and then I have all of this time with my mom who lives here. The child really needs to see these two together loving each other and caring for each other.
Exactly. Well, you think about, for example, the work that's what we know about daughters in terms of developing a sense of their love worthiness. The first man in every girl's life is her father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the first man that she needs to love and be loved by. And what gives the daughter the sense of her love worthiness is, first of all, that first man in her life loves her. And second of all, that he sees him love her mother. So she's seeing from the earliest age the model of a male-female relationship where women are treated with respect and dignity and so forth. So her identity as a female, her sense of love worthiness as a young female child, it's rooted in the father's love for her and in the father's love for her mother.
That's very interesting. What would you say about, I know the struggles most of our churches go through in addressing these issues. You don't want to stigmatize someone who has been divorced. You don't want to stigmatize the single mom who's there in the congregation. At the same time, you don't want to normalize divorce.
Right.
How would you recommend to those of us who are in churches, in evangelical churches, to try to bridge that balance?
I would urge churches to try to build a marriage counterculture within their congregation. The larger world is going in a certain direction toward more and more fragmentation, and to be a kind of a witness and a kind of a different kind of model. And I think one way to start, with a lot of churches are already doing, is you take the issue of marriage preparation and marriage education very seriously.
Mm.
If a young person wants to get married in your church, at least one of the couple should be a member of the church. I think they should be required to meet with the pastor or the appropriate person to learn about what the marriage tradition is, to learn about what it means to be married. I also feel that it would be good to have a little bit less of the couple composing their own vows at the wedding.
Oh, I agree with
you
completely.
Because it's not like marriage is some, you know, the couple announcing themselves to the world as much as it is the world helping the couple understand what it means to be married. And so the idea of inheriting the vows, I think, should be an idea that we get back to, and congratulating and honoring people in the congregation that have had long marriages, and also older couples, success, you know, good, strong, long-time marriages, acting as mentor couples for newlyweds within the congregation. Another idea is what they call community marriage policies. You're probably familiar with this, and there are churches that get together at the community level to be supportive of marriage and to do a lot of great things. So there are some great ideas out there.
Well, thank you very much, David Blankenhorn. He is the founder and president of the Institute for American Values, author of a very important new book called The Future of Marriage, also a native Mississippian. And so I appreciate that. Thank you, David Blankenhorn, for being with us. I want to hear from you. How can churches specifically create what David Blankenhorn, who's not part of the religious right, this is a liberal Democrat who's just looking at this and saying marriage really is important for kids. How can we create what he calls a marriage counterculture in our churches? How can we as churches prevent divorce? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Have a nice rest of your life without me. part of your history. If it makes you happy, honey, keep talking bad about me. Have a nice rest of your life without me.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And that's not just a song. That's the life story of a lot of people in our churches. Not just people that we're ministering to. Not just people that we're evangelizing. It's happening to committed Christians in our churches who see divorce as really an option. When the love is gone. When there are conflicts. When there is a sense of crisis, then it's time just to split up. It's time to divorce. What I want to know from you, why is it that our churches don't have a different view of marriage than the outside world? Why do we not see in our churches a complete difference from the rest of the world when it comes to issues of permanence of marriage and divorce? And what can churches do to change that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We see wedding ceremonies all the time in our churches, but very rarely do we see or know when those same marriages split apart and break up. But we're living with the consequences, and not only are we, but those little children that you see in your Sunday school departments, in your vacation Bible schools, they are living with homes that are fracturing apart in a way that pictures for them really a false view of the gospel, of a Christ who is not committed to his church, of a one-flesh union that's not really a one-flesh union. How do you think we can change that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What do you think are some practical steps that churches and church members can put into effect to keep so much divorce from taking place and have marriages that actually thrive and flourish? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Michael on the line calling from Lawrenceville, Georgia. Michael, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you, Russell. I appreciate you and David having me on the air for a moment.
Glad to. What's your thought today?
Well, my thoughts are this. I think that our church leaders basically are following in suit. I think that we need to teach more theocratic, more exegetical understanding of relationship and what the whole purpose behind marriage is and God's model for that and how that reflects his model with us. That's the first thing I think that we need to start teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I think we need to start teaching, I want to make this brief, is the fact that as Christians, sometimes we just brief and blow over the whole thing about consequence
mm-hmm.
and the eternal consequence we have by the decisions we make. Now, it doesn't mean the consequence of damnation, but it does mean a consequence of eternal missed blessing, eternal opportunity that's being missed. And that's in all aspects of whether it be divorce or any type of sin, that we're missing the point of consequence and what it's going to cost us in the long run.
So in your view, Michael, the first thing to do is really to step up teaching in our churches about what marriage actually is.
Exactly.
I think Michael is right on about that, because I think we talk about marriage a lot in our churches, but I think a lot of what we talk about when it comes to marriage is about how to have a happier marriage and about how to keep that romance going and have a date night with your wife. And all of those things are important and all of those things are good, but we're not talking about with clarity what Scripture says is most important about marriage, and that is it points to the gospel, points to Jesus and the church, and it points to something bigger than us, and that means it has consequences. And as Michael says, it has eternal consequences precisely because it not only has everything to do with our testimony, it also affects the lives of the children, not just our children. If you're leaving your wife, if you're leaving your husband, if you're going and filing for that divorce, that doesn't just have implications for your children, if you have them. It has implications for all of the children all around you who are looking and asking, is that my mom and dad next? Is that what marriage is about? Is marriage about until as long as our love will last? Is that what marriage really is? That is serious, serious business. What do you think? How can our churches teach a view of marriage that will prevent so much divorce? What are some practical things that churches can do with couples, both at the beginning and all the way through the marriage, to make sure that that permanence of marriage is maintained? We have Jason, who is calling from Orlando, Florida, where Dr. Mohler is right now. Jason, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, how's it going? My comment basically agrees with the previous caller that you had. But one thing I've noticed, and I'm not married, I'm 25, and I think that in church in general, we also not only need to be teaching what marriage means, but also what it means to what the difference is between living your bachelor life and living a married life.
All right. Well, Jason, first of all, I'd say you can be married at 25. Lord send you that lady. You can be married like I was at 21, and it can be great. But secondly, I think you're exactly right about that, is that you have to have churches that are speaking and saying the model of the lifelong bachelor life is not what it means to be happy. Instead, let's look at something that is modeled in Scripture as that Christ Church union. What do you think? What can churches do to prevent the divorce culture? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about marriage and divorce. David Blankenhorn with the Institute for American Values says we are giving to our children a heritage of destruction, not just with homosexual quote-unquote marriage, not just with intentional single parenthood, but with a divorce culture that is rampant in our own churches. How do we address it? What do you think are some practical tips for churches on addressing divorce? Not just when it happens, but before it happens. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Eric on the line. Eric, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello.
Hello. What's your thought today?
I have been through a devastating divorce, and I agree wholeheartedly with what your speaker is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think very clearly that the church should speak out loud and clear against divorce.
Eric, a lot of pastors are particularly worried about someone like you who has been in the situation of a divorce, and they're afraid if they speak about divorce that it's going to sound judgmental, it's going to sound as though Jesus doesn't welcome you, that Jesus doesn't restore you. What would you say to that?
I say, bunk. I say, speak out. I need to hear it. My children need to be protected from it. They're going to grow up and get married someday.
Okay.
I think they can't speak out about it enough.
All right. Well, thanks, Eric. Eric says we ought to speak clearly on the issue of divorce. I think he's right. I think a lot of times you have pastors who are afraid of speaking about divorce specifically because they don't want to alienate those within the congregation who have been divorced. I think the way that you address that is by preaching the whole counsel of God, so that you not only preach what marriage is, you also preach the way in which Jesus can restore us, in which the gospel can heal, in which the gospel can bring about reconciliation. One of the things I really hope that we see in our churches with this marriage counterculture that David Blankenhorn talked about, I think is exactly the answer to this, is to see not just marriages keep from splitting apart, but see also marriages that have been split apart coming back together. If we see couples that are reconciling and saying, we were headed to divorce court, we were in the divorce court, we've been divorced, but we're coming back and saying we're willing to reconcile and to put this back together again. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can churches emphasize the permanence of marriage? How can churches make sure that couples from that first day of engagement all the way through to the graveyard have an understanding of marriage? How can we help protect marriages from divorce? 877-893-8773-TALK. We have Bev on the line. Bev, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. I was listening to your discussion today, and I know so many Christian couples that are divorced, and I've been married for 26 years. I have three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they justify it, and it mostly just boils down to, in my opinion, people are just selfish, and they're just self-centered, and they need to understand that, you know, marriage, it's not about me. You know, it's not about me. It can be a sacrifice that you endure for your children, and it's definitely, you know, worth it. And I have seen so many young people affected by their parents' divorce, and that's going to affect their relationships and et cetera. It's just such a trickle down, and,
yeah,
you know, it's just so unfortunate. But I think a lot of it is just people just they're just selfish and they're self-centered and they don't understand that it's just not about them.
Sometimes, Bev, I think that's exactly the case. I think a lot of times, too, though, we have people who just haven't been taught that you don't have to be deliriously happy every minute of a marriage. I think that sometimes the picture that we give of a marriage is always of this romantic, longingly staring into one another's eyes. I think we have a lot of young couples, even in our churches, who get married really expecting that what marriage is going to be is running through the fields of wheat toward one another in slow motion for 50 years. And then when they hit those times of real conflict or of real crisis or of real difficulty, they think, oh, well, we've fallen out of love. We're not in love anymore. And so they look at the culture. What the culture says is walk away. And that's the reason why I think a lot of times in our churches, you have people who are talking about divorce in some very odd ways. You know, we've always had divorce in the churches, and there have always been situations where you've had people who are in crises. But right now, you can see people in our own churches, not just people who don't attend, people who are there, who will talk about a divorce the way a high school kid might talk about breaking up with his girlfriend, as though I'm moving on to the next thing. That is a serious problem, and that has everything to do, I think, with the expectations that we present for marriage, as well as training people how to love one another, not just in feeling, but in word and in deed. What do you think? How can churches prevent a divorce culture and really teach couples to work through difficult times without moving toward the divorce court? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Matt, who is calling from Black Mountain, North Carolina. Matt, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, Russell. How are you?
Doing great. What's your thought today?
Well, I'm thinking that churches in general just have to become more focused, more intentional, and more aggressive with offering marriage counseling, both group and private settings, marriage building seminars, marriage development. It's almost, a lot of churches today are great at evangelism, great at missions, and crusade evangelism, that kind of thing. But when it comes to a real practical way to interface with the community, this is a practice that I know a lot of churches that offer marriage counseling for the people in the church, which is not a bad thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
But as a way to inject themselves into the community, I think this is, absolutely vital.
Matt, I almost all the way agree with you. I think we do need marriage seminars and marriage conferences, but I think we need to have the right kinds of marriage seminars and marriage conferences. Not just telling couples, well, this is how you communicate, and this is how you have a spicier sex life, and this is how you negotiate conflict, but dealing specifically with the very real challenges of marriage and also presenting clearly what Scripture teaches about the permanence of marriage. And I think that can't be it, because you can't just deal with this scattershot with whole groups of people. I think you really need to have more what David Blankenhorn talked about with marriage mentoring, where you have older couples who are really walking alongside younger couples. Part of the problem is we've got young couples in our churches who don't know people who've been married 50 years and 60 years, who can say, oh yeah, I know you woke up mad at her this morning. I've done that 1,000 times. We still love each other. We're still married. What do you think? What can churches do to emphasize a marriage counterculture? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about the divorce culture, not out there in the world, but in our own churches. What can our churches do to stress and teach and to live out the permanence of marriage? We have Joseph on the line who's listening in St. Petersburg, Florida. Joseph, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you for having me. My key consideration in that would be to mentor couples through their marriage and to give marriage more reverence than I think it currently has in society and sometimes in church.
How would you give marriage more reverence?
Well, at the unity point of marriage, just approach it more reverently and let people know that it's a union between man, woman, and God.
Well, I think that's an important point, Joseph, and I think also that what was said earlier by David Blankenhorn about marriage vows is a great place to start. I mean, why would you have couples writing their own marriage vows as though the point of a marriage is to come together and to let the community know this is how we feel about one another? There's something important about having the members of the community sitting in the pews really hearing those vows, the very vows that they once promised to one another, being repeated. Because this isn't just about the couple. This is an entire church, an entire community who are saying, we not only hear your vows to one another, we're going to hold you accountable to those vows. We have Jim on the line listening in Holland, Michigan on WJQ. Jim, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great. What's your thought?
Good. Well, my thought is, as a pastor, we need to start teaching our children at a very young age about lifelong commitment in marriage, because the world gets at them real early, and the church does a very bad job of training up our kids from a young age.
Jim, that is an excellent word. This isn't just something we need to be teaching to couples in premarital counseling, nor not even just to couples who are at marriageable age. We need to be teaching children who are in our early Sunday schools. You know, one day you're going to grow up and be a man. One day you're going to grow up and be a lady, and God is, if God blesses you with a husband or a wife, that's going to be a marriage that is permanent and is lifelong. One of the things I try to do is to pray for my boys every night before I put them to bed, praying for their salvation and praying for their wives. I pray for each one, that every one of them, that God will bring a woman into his life, only one, and that she'll be a godly Christian woman, and that he will love her forever, and that they will never be afflicted with the sin of divorce and with a ruptured marriage. I think we need to start teaching that. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.